Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
All right, verse number one. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. If you underline in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline that phrase, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us over the next few minutes, God. Help us to get a clear understanding from your word. God, help us, Lord, as we look at this subject of prayer. And God, we'll give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When you come to our Bible tonight, there's a lot that is said about the subject of prayer. Matter of fact, there's over 500 references to prayer in our Bible. Now, if you just look at the word pray or the word prayer, you're not going to see that, but when you look at the references to prayer or praying or pray in our Bible, there's over 500 references to that. One said it this way, the three most essential things in a Christian's life are this. Number one, prayer. Number two, Bible. And number three, the church. And can I say something to you? If you do those three things, God will prosper your Christian life. And church is an essential in our day to day. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling, us coming together of ourselves together. And he goes on to say, that's a Louisiana word, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in other words, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we should be having more church than we've ever had. It is an essential. Prayer is an essential, and Bible is an essential, and church is an essential. And I thought about this. Prayer changes things, and nothing is changed without prayer. Prayer changes things, and nothing is changed without prayer. No one saved, no sermon blessed, no marriage will be victorious, no child turning out right, no church staying in God's will, none of us staying in God's will, and on we could go without prayer. Prayer does change things. And how true that is tonight. I remember as a boy, I thought about this. I remember as a boy growing up, I grew up in a little community called Courtney, North Carolina, just on the edge of Yadkin and Davie County, and next to Farmington, North Carolina. You may have never heard of Farmington, but you've probably heard of Farmington Dragway, which is in Farmington, North Carolina. That's next to Courtney, North Carolina. And in between Courtney and Farmington, if you want to get real technical, Wyo lays in between Courtney and Farmington. And the biggest thing in Courtney when we was growing up, Brother Matt, was Laughlin's Handle Company there in Courtney. And the handles for your axes and for everything else come out of Courtney at Laughlin's Handle Shop. And that's where I grew up. Dad went there in 1985 and took the church. I was 7 years old in 1985 whenever he went there and took Amazing Grace. That's here. Took Turner's Creek Baptist Church. It resembled in those days when Dad first went a lot like Amazing Grace is, with the exception it had a basement and it had a little block fellowship hall behind it back then. If you go there now, of course, the auditorium's been built on to four different times, and it's a lot larger now. There is a full-size gym with a full-size commercial kitchen in it, locker rooms on both sides of it, dorms above that that'll sleep over 100. There there. Whenever we left, I don't know how it all is now. I've not been there in years, but there was a putt-putt course. There was a full-size softball field. There was a sand volleyball court. On the other side was a missions house that got moved to another piece of property, and that became a parking lot. There was a retirement home that was built there. There was a Spanish church that was built there. There was more dorms there. Then the little block building turned into more Sunday school classes. It was amazing what God done in the 15 years, right at 15 years that Dad was there as pastor. I'll never forget, as a boy growing up, we lived in a little brick house in between the cemetery and the church. Or it was the church, the cemetery, and then the little house. And, you know, everybody's scared to death of the cemetery, but here's what I found out growing up beside of one. Nobody in there is going to hurt you. I've never been hurt by one person in there. Now, my dad came through the cemetery one night, and me and my brother-in-law, he was not my brother-in-law at the time, he was just dating Rebecca, was hiding behind a tombstone. We come out at him, and he about hurt himself that night. Then he about hurt us when he got to us. But anyway, nobody in that cemetery, I'm telling you, ain't nobody up there in that cemetery going to hurt you, okay? I grew up beside a cemetery. I'm not afraid of a cemetery. Matter of fact, we used to, years ago, they'd put a piece of plywood over the grave whenever they would dig it. And Brother Denny, we would go out there and slide that piece of plywood back and jump down in the grave, take a stick and pull it back over. I mean, it's a huge cemetery. Some of y'all's been there. And people visited it all the time. When them old silver-haired saints would come to visit the dead and we'd holler out from in them graves, they'd say things that they needed to go to the altar for on Sunday that they didn't. You say, how did you know they didn't go? Because a preacher kid never closes his eyes. Now, I'm just going to go, if my daddy is on the platform, if my daddy's on the platform, I will not close my eyes. Why? Because that's my daddy, and I'm not closing my eyes. If anybody goes towards him, well, if he's on the platform, I've got a friend with me that will reach out and touch him, if you know what I mean right there. And anyway, those ladies didn't go to the altar. And I grew up there, and I remember as a little boy, my daddy would have all-night prayer meetings. Matter of fact, he said that I was a compromiser because we went from 12 to 12 instead of 7 to 7. And I said, no, I'm just respectful of the older people at our church. But anyway, we'd have them all-night prayer meetings, and we would, Brother Matt, we would stay all night. We'd go at 7 o'clock, and we'd stay to 7 o'clock in the morning. I remember we would walk around that little white house that sat on pulling into the church on the right side of the church at the time. And Daddy would pray that God would give us that house and all of that land. I remember 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Daddy walking around, and we'd walk down through that land. Daddy would pray, God, give us this land. And boy, we saw God do that down through the years and saw God give us that land, give us that house. They moved the house to another location and built the retirement. I remember Daddy praying for God to let us build a retirement home for the older people, and it's still there to this day for the older people. It had a beauty shop in it. It was amazing, man. It did. You get your hair done there, and if it was an older person that was faithful to the church and they got to a place where they couldn't live by themselves, but they didn't need 24/7 care, they could move in there and the church would help take care of it. It was amazing. And all of that came through prayer. That's where every bit of that came from. You say, well, it come from this and that and the other. No, it came through prayer. Now, I'll never forget Daddy looking at me when I was a little boy, and he said this, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And if you want to see God change things, you got to pray. And then he would say this, if you really want to see God change things, you got to fast and pray. He said God honors fasting and praying, in which we're going to look at fasting as we go through this. Prayer tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight. How is your prayer life? How is our prayer life? And I know I've made this statement before, but let me make it again tonight. When you give illustrations on prayer, do you have to give someone else's illustrations or can you give your own? Can you give your own? I can remember a time when we walked across this land back here, Brother Robert, and prayed for God to give us this land. And you know what? Now we have an altar on that land off of a tree. We cut it out of a tree, Brother Brent Hall, milled that for us down at the sawmill out of a tree that come off that land. And you want me to tell you the reason we have it today? Well, preacher, because they decided out of it. No, it's because somebody prayed for God to do that. I remember the days that I stood on a hill right here, when this was a hill right here, and prayed and asked God to do what He's done right here. Our prayer life tonight, how is our prayer life? I read some things this week, or yesterday and today. Let me give you a few things. Ian Bounds said this, and I'm headed to our text. We're going to look at it verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, over the next few weeks. I know I'll not get done with it tonight, but Ian Bounds said this: prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. Boy, ain't that true about prayer. Prayer is not regarded in my heart as a duty. Man, it's a privilege to be able to pray. I get to talk to God. I don't have to do that. I get to do that. Here's what Billy Graham said. He said, to get nations back on their feet, boy, that's where we need to be today. To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. Boy, how true that is. We must first, you say, preacher, I don't agree with Billy Graham on everything. I don't agree with me on everything. Are you with me? I will say this. In his early years, I don't know of another man that done as much as he did to reach the world with the gospel. In our generation that's been alive, in our generation, it's amazing. If you've never been to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, you ought to go one time and look at it. Here's what Oswald Chambers said. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer does not fit us to do a greater work, is what he's saying. He's saying prayer is the greater work. Leonard Ravenhill, man, what a great writer. Read Why Revival Tarries by him if you've never read after him. He says this: quit playing and start praying. Quit feasting and start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel and start travail. Here's what the great D.L. Moody said. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. You know what he's saying? Every great movement of God comes from praying. Here's what Corey Ten Boom said. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Now let that sink in just a minute. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Let's be honest. So many times we treat prayer as a spare tire. It's a 911 service for us. When everything goes south, then we run to prayer. When the column all goes out, then we run to prayer. But man, prayer should be our steering wheel, not our spare tire. Corey Ten Boom also said, what wings are to a bird and sails to a ship, so is prayer to the soul. I'll give you this one. We'll start looking at our test. Max Lucado said this, and it's one of the greatest quotes on prayer I've ever read. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Boy, can I say, I read that today, and I thought, I think I could change about three of those words and put Jonathan Barker, and it not be plagiarism. Listen to this. Our prayers may be awkward. Have you ever felt like that? You ever been praying and thought, man, this is awkward? Especially like when you're riding down the road and you come to a stoplight and somebody looks over at you and there's nobody else. They look at you like we look at people in the car by themselves with a mask on. They look at you. They look at you like that person's lost their mind. and you think, maybe I have. Listen to what he says. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. Man, sometimes I try to pray and it feels like it don't even get above the roof of my mouth, not even to the top of my head. I'm talking about the roof of my mouth. It's like the words can't even come off the end of my tongue. I feel so bound down and feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Let me tell you the reason you're sitting here tonight. You're the result of someone's prayer. Let me tell you the reason you're saved tonight. You're the result of somebody's prayer. Somebody prayed for you. Let me tell you the reason your home's still together tonight. Somebody prays for your home. You say, well, my home's not about to fly apart. I don't think mine is either, but I sure am glad my mom and daddy prays for it every day, and I try my best to pray for it every day. You say, well, why do you pray for it every day? Well, if I pray for it every day, I know somebody is talking to the Lord for my marriage. You say, well, why does somebody need to talk to the Lord for your marriage? Because I know the husband in it. See, y'all thought I was going to say I know the wife. I know her too. But the husband needs more prayer in that relationship than the wife does. You say, why? Because I know me. I know me better than you know me. And you know what? You know you better than anybody else knows you. And you need to pray every day if you're married for your marriage that God put a hedge about it. I'm telling you, man, this world is trying to destroy our homes and our marriages tonight. You better pray for it. The effort's not in us. It's in the one that makes the difference, and that's God tonight. When you come to the book of Luke, from what I can find, there's more stated about the subject of prayer in the book of Luke than any other of the Gospels tonight. He says more about prayer and praying than any other Gospel tonight. Jesus here is asked about prayer. He said, the disciples said to him, one of the disciples says to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, you've heard me say this before, but let me echo it again. There's nothing else in the Bible that I can find that the disciples asked Jesus for. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Out of all the things that they could have asked for, Lord, teach us to cast out more demons. Lord, teach us to be a better healer. Now, we know that now that has ceased, but Lord, teach us to do this, or Lord, teach us to do that. Lord, teach us to be a better preacher. Lord, teach us how to build our church to a larger congregation. You know what? The disciples knew if they could learn this one thing, that all the rest of that could come. Can I say that? If they could learn this one thing. A preacher may get up and give a great motivational speech. He may get up and have a great outline. He may get up and eloquently read the scripture and give you a great speech and motivate you to do something and give you emotionalism. But I'm telling you something, a preacher will never stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost of God unless he has been in the prayer closet spending time with God. Prayer is what builds the church. Prayer is what will build your Sunday school class. Prayer is what will give you the power of God resting on your life. Prayer is what will enable you to be the Christian witness that you need to be. Prayer is what will enable us to be the parents that we need to be. Prayer is what will enable us to be the pastor that I need to be. It all comes back to prayer tonight. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Look at the inquiring for their schooling in verse number 1. The stimulation for the inquiring. Know what the Bible said right here. And it came to pass that, note this next statement. As he was praying in a certain place. It's very interesting to study the praying of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there's a writer today that's still alive. His name is John G. Butler, and if you was to look at his books, he has a series on the life of Christ. And in that series on the life of Christ, they're red books, and It's kind of like the Redback Church hymnal. But anyway, they're red books, and in that there is a Jesus Christ and His praying, Brother Josh. And it's a whole book just on the praying of Christ. And you know what that you'll find out about Christ? He was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. There's several times you'll find that Jesus has went apart to pray. Matter of fact, here in our text, evidently, He has went apart because the Bible said this, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place. And I'll say more about this as it goes on. You need a place of prayer. You need a place that you go to and that you pray at. I have places that I pray at. I pray at this pulpit right here quite a bit. I pray in that chair right there quite a bit because I look over the congregation. Even though you're not here, if you walk in and I'm sitting there with my eyes open talking, leave me alone. I'm okay, all right? If you'll stay long enough, you'll hear me call your name and your family's name. I pray in that chair. Matter of fact, some of y'all get text on random basis that says, I'm praying for you and your family. I'm probably sitting in that chair when I send that. Are you? I pray there. I go to the altar up on the hill and pray. And then I have a place that very few people's ever been to. Very few people's ever been to. Up on the mountain in a different place, not even in this county, that I go to and I pray. Jesus is at a certain place and they come to Him. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. The stimulation of this inquiry, what inquired them to ask Jesus to teach them? He was praying. Now, can I ask you something? Is somebody going to come to you and say, teach me to pray? If they come to you and say, teach me to pray, it's because evidently they have saw you praying or they've asked you to pray and the things that you've prayed for, they have saw God answer. So there's the stimulation for the inquiry, but watch this by way of introduction. There's the superiority of the inquiry. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We often ask God for many things that we do not need, but here is a request that is superior to most of the requests that we make when we pray. What is it? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I want to look at this, start this tonight, the example for the schooling. What was the example? What is it? The Lord's going to teach them in three verses how to pray. Verse 2, 3, and 4. He's going to teach them how to pray. Let's look at this example tonight. We'll start it. The Lord's praying, and He gives them an example. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Look in verse 2. And He said unto them, they inquire of Jesus, and He answers them. You know the reason He answered them? Because they went on their right behalf. Sometimes we go to Jesus or we go to God with nonsense. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I've heard me say many times before, I'm glad God don't answer all my prayers. I wouldn't be here right now. If He did, I'd be dead because the first kidney stone I ever had in Panama City, I laid in that camper. We was traveling. We was on the road full time then with Rock of Ages. And I laid in that camper and said, God, please let me die. I'm glad He didn't answer that prayer. But this is a very important inquiring that they're making. Lord, teach us to pray. So Jesus turns right around and answers them and gives the example in this schooling. Watch this. Number one, He begins dealing, and we'll just deal with this one tonight real quickly. The relationship to God in the example. The relationship to God. Note what He says. Our Father, He said, when you pray, not if you pray. It's just like fasting. Not if you fast, but when you fast. In other words, Jesus is assuming they're just going to do it. When you pray, here's what He says, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The relationship to God in the example. The person to whom we pray, Our Father. We are never exhorted in Scripture to pray to anyone but God. We're not exhorted to pray to Mary. We're not exhorted to pray to the Apostle Paul. We're exhorted to pray to God. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. The person to whom we pray. But I not only see that, I thought about this, the person to whom we pray, but the persons who can pray. What did he say? Here's what he said, our Father. Well, who is that in reference to? That's in reference to the saved. I told you we're just going to look line upon line, precept upon precept. The lost man cannot say, our Father which art in heaven, because he's not their heavenly Father. They're still lost. Many want to argue this fact right here with me. I said fact, but there's nothing to argue. God does not hear the prayer of a lost man. Psalm 66:18, which we're going to look at it before we're done. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that is sin. God will not hear my prayer. And the only prayer that a sinner's going to pray to get sin out of his life is the prayer of salvation. God, forgive me of this. If we're getting sin out of our life, the initial time, the very first time we done that, it was a prayer of repentance for salvation. And now because of that, the persons who can pray, it's the saved tonight. If we're not saved tonight, let me back up and rephrase that. If you're not saved tonight, I am saved, praise God. If you're not saved tonight, God's not going to hear our prayer unless it is the prayer of repentance. So we see the person to whom we pray, the persons who can pray, but the perspective in the prayer. Look what he says, our Father which art in heaven. The fact that he is in heaven should give us a proper perspective in prayer. So many of our prayers never reflect heavenly ideas or interest. It's really not about what's earthly good to us. When we talk to him, it's about what is a heavenly gain. So many times we want to pray for this, this, and this, but the perspective in our prayer ought to be heavenly. It ought to be centered towards him. It ought to be heavenly tonight. The relationship to God in the example. But then, and I'm not going to preach this one to you, okay? There's the reverence for God in the example. He said, how will it be thy name? That word hallowed, and we'll talk about this next week, means to be made holy, reverent, sanctified, set apart, hence to honor and glorify. You see, when we're praying, our relationship is to our heavenly Father. It is as we're speaking to our Father. But when we speak to our Father, there should be a reverence. Earthly, there should be a reverence. Somebody say amen right there. But how much more when we're looking at it on a spiritual level and on a heavenly level, should there be a reverence? That hallowed right there. It is a reverence to God. We don't go to God demanding God. Are you with me? Please don't get upset with me right here. I understand that there's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth me, that red hot prayer. But some, and I understand that there's times that we are fervent in our prayer. There's times that we just pray, and there's times that we're fervent. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. But sometimes, please don't nobody get upset with me, right? But sometimes I want to say, God's not deaf. We approach him reverently. He said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Man, I've seen people pray before and they scream and holler and beat the floor and jump up and down. And I don't go to my daddy beating the floor and jumping up and down, smacking the floor and screaming at him. I'm just giving you the Bible tonight. He said, hallelujah. We approach God reverently tonight. We approach him reverently. There's times that we are fervent and our voice raises in prayer sometimes. You know what I'm saying tonight. You know what I'm saying. We're talking to God. And this isn't our best friend we're talking to. This isn't. We don't go to God demanding. I've heard people praying. They say, God, you got to do this. Time out. God ain't got to do nothing. No, it's God. It's the one that had the power Everybody says this a lot of times, where the man, to step out on nothing, you make everything. And hey, look, that's just, I think it's an independent Baptist thing. You know, God stepped out on nothing, ha, and made everything. Ha. I don't know that he ever got up off his throne. Probably just said, let there be, and there was. Well, I mean, just, then Spirit comes upon the scene, divides light and darkness. And, boy, there's just so much you could say. What I'm drawing is this. In our prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, our Father, the saved man, is talking to his heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. We're to approach him reverently, Brother Aaron. Man, this is God. This isn't our best friend that we're talking to. Now, I understand he can be our best friend. But you know what I'm saying. This is God. And in our prayer life should be a life of reverence to him. And I'm going to say this, and Madeline, come start playing something, if you will. I'm going to say that just because we can't close the service unless somebody plays 10 minutes, okay? I'm not going to preach another 10 minutes. I want to say this. We'll learn this as we go on. But what we've got to remember in our prayers is this. Brother Josh, he said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. According to his will. Here's what we do so many times in our prayer. God, I sure wish you'd do this. God, I wish you'd answer this. And God, now when we're praying for a lost man to get saved, we're praying according to his will. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But a lot of times, we have to pray according to his will and not our will.